Okay, here we are. Hour number two, welcome back. Glad to have you on board wherever you are all around this beleaguered world of ours. As you know, Monday, Erica lost her voice on the air, and she's recovered pretty well. I did call yesterday to check on her, and I called again today, and I actually recorded what I heard so I could get an AI in case we have to reproduce her voice with AI. We can do it. But fortunately, she did seemingly recover pretty well. But here's the little audio clip I did record of her voice. I was going to use it with AI, but I don't think I will. She sounds pretty good.
What's up, Doc?
That's what she sounded like yesterday. Let's find out what she sounds like now.
Is that my cue?
That was a cue. All right. See, I just absolutely took the words right out of her mind. She can't.
I know,
speak.
You've made me speechless again.
Speechless again. I know. Blame Jeff. Just blame Jeff. It's okay. That's what I'm here for. Blame the host. How are you? Seriously.
Much better.
Everyone wants to know.
Right. Much better. Yeah, I think I did some damage over the weekend. The air quality here was very bad.
Well, you had smoke,
and,
I know. Fire down the road?
No. Yeah, there was a kind of a brush fire. Uncontrolled, and it was windy and dry, and took some effort to get it extinguished.
Well, but that's what they're paid to do, that, aren't they? So they did their job.
And,
all right. So we blame the smoke. Better than me. Don't blame me. Blame the smoke.
Okay.
All right. Let's hear it. What's up, Doc? Come on.
Well, you did it better than I could.
I see. See how quick she is? All right. Here's the lead story of the day. We have been saying for some time, after Bill Gates said it, that the next pandemic is going to be Marburg. I think that's a direct quote, or damn near. So they, the media, which is controlled by the same folks all around the world, basically, have been pushing the Marburg theme lately. I think we... 15 cases, 5 dead in Africa, something around that, right? Is that right? Something like that.
Yeah. In two different countries on opposite sides of the continent.
Now, get this. Yes, exactly. For the first time, that was my punchline. For the first time, the world is seeing two simultaneous outbreaks of the Marburg virus. One in Equatorial Guinea, the other in Tanzania. For the first time, the Marburg virus is just as deadly as Ebola, to which it is closely related, but it has been extremely rare until now. The situation with the Marburg virus entered uncharted territory on March 21st when Tanzania announced an outbreak of the disease in addition to the one in Equatorial Guinea. On the other side of the African continent. Well, Erica, thoughts?
How about that?
Yes,
they just
well
sporadically
said.
Appear.
It just popped up.
Well, we can kind of predict where this is going.
In Equatorial Guinea, da 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 da. All right, and most of you know about hemorrhagic fevers and the... Boy, would this make nightly news fodder, for sure. People dropping dead, bleeding from their eyes and their nose and ears. This could be ramped up. If they're going to do this, they're going to get the most out of it. There'll be a stampede for whatever vaccine they want to offer. It'll be the same old thing. This will be more horrific, though, than COVID, I would think.
Well, and we have a population now that has a crippled immune system, and...
this is the punchline. This is the big one. Go ahead. This is really important.
Well,
everyone
you know,
forgets
it,
about
it isn't,
this.
they're ill prepared for anything with any sort of virulence, whether it's Marburg or bird flu or some pox virus.
And
you know,
the
one good thing, if there's anything good about this, is Marburg requires close contact to spread.
So far.
You know, you really need contact with bodily fluids to transfer
to a
new host.
Pretty much the same with Ebola. You've got to touch.
Right.
That's the theory.
Anyway. It's a bloodborne virus.
Right. Well, we could say body fluids because even in saliva, at least 50% of the people walk. I think it's more than that. I've forgotten. 50% of the people who are above room temperature have blood and blood products in their saliva at all times because of poor gum health and gum disease. And if you brush your teeth, the number of people who have blood or blood products in their saliva is well over 90. Well over 90. Because they abrade the gums and they begin to slough off blood and blood products. And it's right there for transmission. That's a fact. So, all right. Anyhow, so that's the latest on the rumor mill, although it's more than that because it's made the media. So it has to be all true. Okay. And why, explain again, why do most people have an immune deficiency and why are they at higher risk than they otherwise would be for almost anything anymore?
Well, primarily because of these injections, the way they work. They're at a very, very severe disadvantage in confronting anything other than coronavirus, and even with this coronavirus, it's debatable how much protection they have. It seems to be the case that they're more susceptible. They can harbor the virus and, have copies of the virus at higher levels than somebody with a normal immune system and spread it asymptomatically.
In other words, the people who have taken the injection have AIDS. VADs, we call it, to one degree or another. They are compromised immunologically. And that's,
I mean, we're seeing that with the repeated infections with these people, bacterial, viral, and then the cancers. And then now we're starting to see the autoimmune component of it.
So imagine you're in a bowling alley, and you're looking down the lane, and there are 10 pins set there, and they all have AIDS, and you have the pathogen in the shape of that round black bowling ball. Maybe you have one of those pretty swirly ones. I don't know. And you throw the ball down there, and you're going to blow them right off the lane. These people have no immune function, not like they used to. You take that shot, you have begun the downward slide to VADs.
The interesting thing was that the clinicians that are treating these people now, initially their blood, in terms of the numbers of white blood cells, can appear to be normal, but functionally they're not. And you wouldn't necessarily see that on a standard blood test. So that could be deceptive.
It could. All right, we have a friend coming back to the program tonight. It's been a while since he's been on, Dr. Roger Hodgkinson. Roger is really an heroic figure in Canada. He has been to countless speaking events trying to spread reality about this whole program of injecting people with the so-called vaccination and so forth. He is a professional. He is in the industry. He is a health pro all the way. And we're glad to have Roger back tonight. Hello, Roger. Welcome. Thanks for being here. Erica and I welcome you.
Hi, Roger.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show again. It's a real pleasure.
Well,
likewise.
Pleasure is ours. The last time I talked with you, you were heading off. You were actually en route to do yet another speech, another presentation. How many? Do you have any idea how many you've made so far?
I'm not a narcissist. I don't keep a folder of all the speeches I've done over the last 2 years, but it's probably over 100, I'm guessing.
Now, you've been out there. You've definitely put yourself on the line. With respect to Canada, how would you compare the government of Canada and its protocols regarding these injections with the U.S., for example. The Canadians seem to have taken a pretty hard jolt, just like the Australians have seemingly been really put up against the wall with this stuff. How does it look to you?
Well, it's been regional in Canada because of the way the country is set up as a federation. Ontario has been unquestionably, Ontario and British Columbia have been unquestionably the worst. Alberta, where I live, has been relatively saved, but there's still been attacks against physicians such as me for spreading misinformation. Of course, the problem with spreading misinformation is they won't tell you by design. They will not tell you what information you're missing, because that would be the focus of a court case, and they would lose.
That's absolutely ludicrous. I had no idea. So just between you and I and the audience here and Erica, what have you been accused of doing? What have you been accused of doing?
They won't tell you. They just accuse you of spreading misinformation, which is...
What was your guess?
That's a subtext for, you know, saying things that are contrary to what the government's lying about. And, of course, if ever that got to court, that would be an instant lose. So the game plan for the colleges of physicians and surgeons across the country of Canada is very simple. Intimidate, delay, threaten, but never go to court because they will lose. And in addition to that, it's been very interesting that, of course, the way this was positioned to the medical profession was, thou shalt not. It was a very clear admonition. We're watching you. You're in danger of losing your license if you continue along those lines. What's transpired now, of course, in Canada, and I think to a certain extent in the States and internationally, is that now, because the edifice is crumbling, those so-called admonitions, diktats, have now morphed into, oh, they were simply recommendations. They were simply recommendations. We weren't telling you what to do. No. These are just a guideline.
What sleazy, awful people?
Well, the hypocrisy is staggering. They're just running for cover. We're winning the war, the battle, I should say. But the war, of course, is going to be a 20-year slog.
Right. When you get hassled, threatened, allegedly intimidated, I don't imagine anyone intimidating you, but... What do they do? What are their techniques? How do they let you know that you're being watched and they don't like what you're doing? How do they do that?
Well, it's a progressive process. Depends upon the province you're in. It starts off with, we don't like what you're saying. You may choose to recant, clarify, whatever. But then if that fails, it turns into an investigation. In which is usually very delayed intentionally because they want to slow walk this because of being deathly afraid of a court case. But of course, in Toronto, in Ontario, they have progressed beyond that into taking away the licenses of physicians such as Dr. Mark Phillips, who's as blue chip as they get. Mark Phillips is. A problem in their eyes was that he reported cases to the reporting system, which is now defunct, by the way, how convenient. He reported cases of vaccine injuries, and that was his crime.
Whoops, yeah. Were there not, I don't want to make this into a melodrama, but were there not a few doctors early on who met unexpected and untimely deaths? We're going back a couple of years.
Oh, no, that's ongoing. Dr. Makis, M-A-K-I-S, he runs a great Substack. People should look him up. Dr. Makis has been an incredible resource documenting deaths in distinct demographics, such as doctors, pilots, et cetera, athletes. And what that demonstrates, of course, is that these demographics are basically physiologically no different from everyone else. But they're a definable demographic with an incredible death rate. Mm-hmm. They are the canaries in the coal mine. And it's indicative of the scale of death that is currently underway, which is something that we've never, ever seen in medicine. In fact, even in wartime, the number of deaths that are directly due to the clot shot, as I prefer to call it, yeah. The number of deaths directly due to the clot shot, depending on the country you're talking about, it doesn't matter whether it's the States or Britain or Canada, the number of deaths exceed the number of deaths in all wars fought in recent history.
In Canadian history.
And American history, including your Civil War.
The whole thing. Okay, you're wrapping it up. Understood. Erica, yeah, go ahead. You have anything you want to...
No, I know. It's really just flabbergasting.
When Dr. Hodgkinson, when you go to an event, you're a headliner. People know who you are. What is the crux of your message to the assembled? How do you roll this horror out? What is your preferred means of communication?
You've got to dumb it down, sound bites. People have to leave with a message. It's pointless using statistics. Zeros become forgotten and incomprehensible. I simply say this. Repeat after me. Nothing worked. And not only did nothing work, but what they did unnecessarily, with no evidence, made the situation worse. Does that sound like a good medicine to you?
No, it sounds like genocide to me, at least to some degree. It's horrible.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is an absolute farce. Absolute farce. I mean, I could go through all the mandates, etc., one by one, but nothing emphasized, underlined in neon, nothing worked. The only new thing that was tried that could be predicted to fail on socioeconomic grounds was, of course, the lockdowns, locking people down. We've never, ever done that in medicine's history. Mm-hmm. We've locked down the sick. We never locked down the well.
No,
they did everything wrong. Everything was wrong. And the vaccine, of course, was the additional assault. According to Peter Halligan, a really very capable analyst of statistics, in the U.S., there have been an enormous number of vaccine-related deaths. But when you gross that up globally, including the underreporting factor, I'm talking about the vaccine, that so-called vaccine.
Yes.
We're talking about big numbers here. We're talking about 20 million, capital M, deaths directly due to the clot shot, and approximately 2 billion, capital B, adverse events. Now, to put that in context, previous so-called traditional vaccines have been withdrawn from the market after 50 deaths.
Right.
Can you understand the scale of difference here?
Oh, yeah. With neither exact statistics to deal with or even reasonable government speculation, we have to do our own work, which you do and your colleagues do. About 6 billion people have been injected now with the so-called vaccine. And if you're saying that 3 billion are showing up with significant or severe injuries from being given the clot shot, the death shot.
No.
Words for it.
20 billion.
20. 20 billion injuries?
Sorry. 20 million. I beg your pardon. 20 million. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So we've got, they claim to have injected approximately 6 billion people, all told, to date. Now, these are with a number of different products. They're not all just Pfizer and Moderna. There are, I think, dozens, several dozen altogether. But this is a very, very big issue. unprecedented in recorded history. We don't know for sure what the case fatality rate is among the vaxxed, but we're seeing indications that people can die over differing timelines, that it hits people differently. Some can die within a few minutes. Some can die within, now we're in our third year. How does it present to you at this point? If you've made it past a year and only got one shot, should you relax? Should you say, well, I'm probably going to be okay? What do you say to that? 1 year, one shot.
Well, unfortunately, the consequences of the clot shot are cumulative with each successive injection.
Yes.
The people that have unfortunately succumbed to the intimidation and duress of employers, etc., I say this, look, hey, I'm not accusing you of anything. I empathize with you deeply, deeply for the sacrifice that you've been made to make. But, you know, what it really comes down to is what can you do about it? You may have subclinical myocarditis. You may have all kinds of other complications that are going to come out of the woodwork in the next couple of years, cancer in particular. We don't know. It would be prudent, and I'm just using the word prudent, it would be prudent to consider trying to get rid of as much of the spike protein in your body that's probably still being produced. It would be prudent to try and minimize the consequences of that. And one of those agents that is safe, which still needs work as to how effective it is, one of those agents is called natokinase. It's available in all kinds of formulations, one of which is available through the wellness company in the States. That's worth trying.
Yes, the wellness company. Yes.
We're trying to minimize the consequences here. And the evidence can come out later, so long as these products are relatively safe, which natokinase is. It acts by being in twofold. It counteracts the spike protein directly, but it also acts on the system in the blood that dissolves blood clots. So that if you're having a blood clot due to the spike protein, natokinase helps to dissolve that clot because of its anticoagulant, blood-thinning nature. Somewhat like baby aspirin, but much more effective.
Very good. We have been recommending that very thing to our listeners, so you're speaking to people who are certainly aware of what you're talking about. Natokinase, serrapeptase is another one. Some companies are putting them together in one pill now, calling it Natocera, whatever. The point is that there are things you can do which show strong indication that they can work to mitigate some of the problems that people have. But I think this is a... Go ahead.
I would say this, quite apart from detoxification, which is so critical, on which there should be enormous research going on by government because they brought this thing to the general public. They should be paying for the research to show how natokinase and other agents could benefit people who have been coerced. I would say this, Jeff. If you have brought upon humanity a catastrophe of this scale that was never needed in the first place, nothing worse than a bad seasonal flu, they should have let it rip like it usually does. If you are responsible for having done that scale of carnage, then you are obligated to immediately and with great resources attempt to define the scale of the problem and ways to mitigate it. That is even more culpable than what they did already.
Mm-hmm.
They are refusing to study it, to quantify it, because they're deathly afraid of the reality that would result in them being accused of killing people in such huge numbers. That makes them even more culpable.
I concur. Well said. When you talk to your colleagues, I know you're very close professionally with Dr. Paul Alexander and others. What is the consensus, if there is one, about the future for people who have been injected? Nattokinase being a nice thing to hear about, but generally speaking, let's say somebody's taken three shots. Go ahead.
The answer is we don't know because they won't study it. One of the most serious risks that is still totally unstudied is the reverse transcription of mRNA into permanent DNA that could be transgenerational. Now, do you think that's important? Of course it is. If it inserts into DNA, we don't know where it's inserting. We don't know if it's functional or not. We don't know if it's inserted next to a gene that activates cancer. We don't know a damn thing about reverse transcription and its consequences for humanity. They're not studying it. The other thing they're not studying, which is of medium-term significance, is the attack on the ovaries and testes and what the consequence of that is for future human fertility. We don't know.
Right. The sterilization aspect of this is huge. Yes. The people clearly are being sterilized to one degree or another, and it doesn't take much for a lot of people to be taken out of the reproduction pool. They're gone. Young women, you know the story better than anyone.
The recent mortality statistics show that there's approximately the maternal deaths in pregnancy.
Yes. Yes.
Compared to 2021, pre-COVID, there's approximately, globally, 100% increase in maternal deaths during or shortly after pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's important.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. The last big question I want to ask is, how much, in your estimation, foreknowledge did Pfizer, Moderna, and the Department of Defense and the Pentagon have regarding these injections and what they had concocted? How much foreknowledge of the damage did they have? What are your thoughts?
I think very little. My criticism of whether or not this could have been a bioweapon is that it's a lousy bioweapon. It doesn't kill enough people. And it wouldn't have been predictable anyway without studies as to how effective it was at killing people. No, I believe that this whole madness over the last 3 years could be defined as an example of Occam's razor, the medieval philosopher. It could be defined as stupendous stupidity by the ideocrats, momentous Machiavellian manipulation of the population, and gigantium greed by Big Pharma having been given indemnity. Look no further than those three explanations. You don't have to go down the rabbit hole of this is genocide and some Machiavellian desire to kill off the population, as much as Gates would like to see that. It was an unexpected opportunity that escaped out of a lab unintentionally, but the Department of Defense was perfectly prepared to operationalize a plan that they already had in case it was an Armageddon virus, which it wasn't. They wanted an opportunity to operationalize a plan to see how it worked. And the DOD was the demon behind everything that happened. Fauci and Birx were merely the usable fools.
Very well informed, usable fools, I would suggest. And we hear you. This is quite an opportunity, at the very least, that fell into their lap. I hear it.
Eric, the other reason why this is not a, yes. The other reason why it's not a genocide, Jeff, is that something of this magnitude played out over 3 years. If there was a plan in the top right-hand drawer of every premier and prime minister internationally, you would certainly have expected by now a whistleblower. It didn't happen. It didn't happen for a very simple reason. It didn't happen.
Very good. Erica, do you have anything you want to add here before we say goodnight to Roger?
No, that's an interesting perspective. I'm not seeing it in that light, but, you know, I guess time will tell.
Well, that's the bottom line here. Time always tells whether you want it to or not. So I want to say on behalf of all the people you have reached out to and helped, Roger, thank you for your work and your bravery and sticking it all on the line. You have. So
yes. Definitely.
Very much appreciation your way.
What was that famous line in one of those detectives series on television? Just give me the facts, ma'am. Just give me the facts.
Yeah. Or the other line, don't bother me with the facts. My mind is made up. There's that one, too.
Right.
So. Roger, thanks for
thank you.
Thanks for the visit. Great
thank
to talk
you, thank
to you,
Roger.
Again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Dr. Roger Hodgkinson, and there's not unanimity out there among the medical community about this whole thing, except it's bad news. Right? We can certainly all agree on that. But you all know how we feel about it, and there are people out there who just will not, no matter how many Roger Hodgkinsons there are and how many Jeff and Ericas there may be, they just don't want to hear it. That's a very frustrating part of this. It's called denial.
And there are still people getting these shots.
Oh, yes. I told the story about the pharmacy that I happen to go past occasionally, once in a while, and I asked them. I just went up and asked them, wearing my mask and my personal Valara unit, my ion generator. I went up and I said, how many shots a day are you giving? And the guy said, he was busy. He said, I don't know, about 50. 50 at one pharmacy, 50 people a day taking the bivalent booster, which is not encouraging. Anyway. All right, anything you want to add? We've covered this all before, I think. The idea of VADs is extremely important when weighing the potential of Gates' warning that Marburg would be the next plandemic, because if it is, the majority of people who have been injected, around 83%, we figure, they won't have a chance. They're going to be just knocked over like 10 pins. Boom.
Well, we have to keep in mind, too, that the symptoms of Marburg, it's a hemorrhagic virus in the same family as Ebola. So the symptoms they don't have to be necessarily bleeding out of every orifice, but they can result in that. But that can mirror a lot of other conditions. In fact, I had heard a 911 call here locally about a month or so ago, and it was for a guy who was bleeding from his eyes. Now, they made a point of saying that he had been undergoing some kind of chemotherapy, but he was in a panic because, this has never happened. Why am I bleeding from my eyes? But, you know, they can do a lot with symptoms and a storyline and a fake PCR test.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the sky's the limit, especially when you own the media. And the media, for most people, is a reflection of reality. It's, if not an outright presentation of it. So they're you've got a captive audience that's worldwide. I'll never forget that video showing, it was 40 or 50 different affiliate television stations around the country. All the anchor people at all of them were reciting the exact same script, word for word. Mm. If that didn't make it clear that the media is a controlled enterprise, nothing will. And I should dig that up and replay it. But anyway.
Yep.
Okay,
but I would say, you know, my money's on probably bird flu for this part of the world.
Oh, because I think we concur that with that. It's much easier, and the airborne nature of it is given.
Yes.
We know that. And even though it's not supposed to jump cross species, we've already had reports of people who have been stricken with H5N1, which is the bird flu. And
well, when it infects humans, the difference is it can go from a bird to a human, but normally the human doesn't transmit it to another human. But if they figured out how to, you know, get it to spread among humans, then yes, we'll have a problem.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's take a look at some of our human cases. Where do you want to go? You sound great, by the way. Your voice has never been more authoritative. Wonderful.
Well, we've got some
smells.
New ones.
Shedding smells. That's a good one.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Which one do you want? Smells and sickness, number one?
Well, I'm not seeing it.
That's the
fifth
one.
Oh, there it is.
Down.
Okay. Yeah.
Go ahead and take those first two, one and two, smells and sickness.
Okay. No, wait. I'm out of order here. You start.
All right. Eureka Garlic says, how will they live much longer smelling like this? She was appalled at an odor she ran into, which is an odor that we've described on the program before. Something is wrong with their body. And someone answers that, I wonder too. They look well, but you know they can't be well smelling like a chemical factory. What's so odd is, in the store the other day, the smells were horrific, and I felt like I was the only one smelling it. I couldn't help but make a face at the stench, and one employee looked at me curiously. They don't smell themselves, I guess. I don't know. I've never asked a vax person if they do smell themselves. And a response to that... an unusual thing that I noticed in some days is they look like they are full of fluid, and some days they look normal. They cannot see what is happening inside their bodies. Some of them look pale and gray, and some of them look like a pink, pale color. Notice they're not looking good color-wise. They don't seem to have a normal skin tone any longer. So onward to smells and taste.
Oh, I've got shedding smells here. Has anyone had anyone admit that they smell?
Good question.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
We have not seen my parents in a long, long time. I miss them, so I said, come over. Yesterday they came over. Now I've told them what's going on, but they don't believe me. So my mother, stepfather, and niece were here for an hour. It still stinks in our home.
Wow.
Our hair, our hot water is off, so we took two showers, but it's stuck in our hair. Not to mention how sick being around them has made us. There is still, a day later, a metal taste in my mouth. My upper lip is swollen, and my tongue. My husband's throat hurts. I suspected yesterday that when they left, that would be the last time I will ever see my family. The resulting sorrow of that and what they have done got the best of me, and I sobbed. These deep, guttural pains for some time as my husband silently seeped beside me. This is almost in its totality unbearable to endure. I wish if they could at least admit they smell, then we could have an open conversation where we could make some compromise so that we might be able to have some kind of interaction. However, my mom says no one smells, and they have workers that are not jabbed, and she thinks, because they are not experienced any of this, that what we say is not true. God help us.
Well, let me rewind and go back to the beginning here. This is very important. You all have to make decisions. You, the unvaxxed, and the vaxxed, but the unvaxxed, you have to make decisions. And I'm going to read the first part of this again. Has anyone had anyone admit that they smell. And I would ask any of you out there, if you know anything about cases like that, let us know. We have not seen my parents in a long, long time. I miss them, so I said, come on over. Well, yesterday, they came over. Now I've told them what's going on, but they don't believe me. So my mother, stepfather, and niece were here for an hour. 1 hour. It still stinks in our home. Our hair, our hot water is up. We took 2 showers, but it's stuck in our hair. Now, have we heard such a graphic description of this before like that?
Mm-mm.
Where it actually comes into a home and stays there? We usually hear people
out and about
who are smelling the infected, or those who are expressing putrescence is what we think part of it is, at least. But not in a home like this. That's
well, you know, it may be that sometimes odors can get trapped, you know, in the hairs and the nose, the cilia. I mean, they just stay there for a prolonged period of time. So it may be, you know, just trapped particles in the nose, the sinus cavity or something.
Well, they're molecules of something. They're giving off an odor, no doubt. Okay, the next one says, I went to New York for a week. I think I may have finally smelled the vax smell. I was never sure. I had definitely smelled it before, but somewhere between landing on a plane in JFK and going into New York City, I noticed my fingers, my clothes, and the inside of my nose smelled like garbage, like foul sewage-type garbage. It was gruesome. My companion, unvaxxed, also had a garbage smell all over her as well. I had come with massive supplements and ivermectin and Chinese herbs. Only thing I forgot was my hydrogen peroxide, which I won't do again. I still got very sick with a cough, throat irritation, yellow phlegm, and the usual ear pain I get from vaxxed exposure. I'm better now. I'm home in California, which is still bad in my area, but not like it was in New York. Is this the smell? A garbage smell? Go ahead.
Someone answers, yes, that is the smell. Have you tried bone broth? This may help you feel better pretty quickly. I agree that vitamin C can help too. First one replies, so I've been dealing with shedding for 2 years at my job. I wondered about the occasional smell, but it quickly dissipated. Most coworkers are vaxxed. I live in one of the most highly vaxxed counties in San Francisco Bay Area, but I only work 3 days a week, and no one in my family is vaxxed, and I spend lots of time in nature on my days off. But I've dealt with ear pain, a bloody nose, cough, yellow phlegm, but this time it was a profound garbage smell that penetrated my clothing, my fingers, and the inside of my nose, and I got very sick. I'm just wondering, is it just more vaxxed people, more sick vaxxed people, more boosters, or what? I've never smelled that before in my small area.
Wow. All right, a response to that. I'm just guessing, but I have noticed the smells are much worse here everywhere. People even stink outdoors. When I walk past them, the stench is sometimes horrific. So I think they are seriously deteriorating inside themselves, even if they don't look like it. It is so unpleasant. I'm going places only when I have to go now. And want to add to that, that sounds like what I'm dealing with in my area. The smell does bring on symptoms like burning and bloody nose. I get nerve pain when I smell that smell. I also have what feels like a constant ear infection and a plugged up ear. My right ear has not popped for years. I think I felt movement in it today. I wonder if whatever plugged it up is coming loose. I think that would be a relief. I have been taking supplements for a while now, and I eat a clean diet. It takes a long time to recover from this, but I guess that is part of the evil scheming.
And last one, New person says, I smell that smell in the lab where I work, in grocery stores, supermarkets, and in airplanes, in mostly closed spaces.
Wow. The smell issue is a very big indicator. We haven't quantified it yet to the extent that I'd like to see, and I think in time we're going to get more and more reports about it. But this issue of people going into a home, vax people who are smelling, the woman didn't know they were smelling, I guess, and leaving that much residue behind by way of odor is not good. That's bad. Bad. Okay, go ahead. Where do you want to go next?
Then we have strokes. Let's see. Has anyone experienced a TIA, that's transient ischemic attack, stroke from shedding? Both my parents have had TIA strokes in the past 3 months. Jabbed family members spent a week at their home, New Year's week. The day before they left, my mom got a major migraine that lasted 15 minutes, or 1.5 months. Oof. They normally are not around anyone who's been jabbed for a long period of time. The family members were jabbed in the fall. To me, it's all highly suspicious that both had TIA strokes in such a short period of time. Are people getting TIAs from shedding? No, my parents are not on drugs. It was my brother and his family from out of state. They stayed a million other times and didn't think anything of it. That has been reported. Strokes from shedding.
Yes. Strokes, clots too.
Yeah.
All right. What's next here? Severe shedding illness. You have that.
Oh, this
one?
Is. Yeah. Omit that first
that
line.
Yeah. Go ahead.
This is talking about a dog. I've been giving my dog NAC and bentonite clay ever since his shedding symptoms started. Actually, both my dog and I are dealing with the effects of vax shedding. I have been quite sick since being with my dad in November while he was passing away from adverse reactions to the Pfizer shot.
People don't know how many people are dying from these damned injections. It's just not connected. Dots are left unconnected. Disparate people say different things. People are dying every damn day. Lots of people from related issues to these injections. Lots of different related issues. Lots of different symptomologies. Go ahead.
4 days later, all my symptoms began, and I went from being extremely healthy to suddenly having Epstein-Barr, fluid around my heart, thyroid TSH level of 144, which put me in the hospital on the perimeter of cardiac arrest. I also got my period back, despite having finished menopause 5 years ago. My daughter also has menstrual issues when around the vaxxed, excessive bleeding and blood clots. My dog also began the shedding symptoms in November. We believe my dad's Pfizer shots to have been an extremely toxic batch, as his symptoms all began within 10 days of his second Pfizer. Suddenly unable to walk or use his arms or hold his head up, boils on his arms with a chemical-smelling mucus coming out. He went blind, got blood clots in his stomach and brain, internal bleeding. Then he had a stroke 2 months later and a few other small strokes. Doctors at first said it was such a mystery that my dad would have suddenly had all these symptoms at once. Then the shedding effects started, and I've been sick, or very sick, ever since. Bed rest, got 3 months. Now that I'm out of the hospital, I did live blood analysis and absolutely have the proteins in my blood. It was unreal to see it.
Yes. Don't know. This is all an issue. When I think about it, I just can't even imagine. how the majority, the great majority of people in this country, for example, do not go to these social media groups. They do not get any support. They are in the hands of their doctors, and what useless hands they usually are, because the doctors don't know, and they're shot up. So I don't know where people go. Where do they go? What do? If they found these groups, and we're just talking about an infinitesimally small number of people who have found and are involved with these groups. What, 15,000, 20,000? That's it. That's next to nothing. Where do they go for support? They go to their doctor. What are they going to get? We're going to do more tests. More tests. And then they'll end up with some silly diagnosis, which has nothing to do with spike, nothing to do with the injections. They're always looking somewhere else. So I don't. It's very frustrating. Very frustrating. Mm. Okay, you want to do one more real quick? Go ahead.
Yeah, we've got one more reply to the, has anyone had anyone admit that they smell? And another answer is, my thought is that depending on what is in their dose of the shot, they may not have the ability to smell it. Some people on my Facebook have blown up like balloons. Others have lost so much weight and aged terribly. The skinny ones might have cancers, and of course, cancer suppresses the appetite.
Wow.
Yeah, the fluctuations in weight is becoming a thing. Apparently, there is a trend now. Many of these vaxxed people are gaining a tremendous amount of weight for really no apparent reason. It's not that their appetites are out of control or anything, but certainly something about their physiology has changed and is causing them to really balloon.
I guess, was that the April 5th one you just read?
This was April 12th.
Well, listen to this one from April 5th. This is Eureka Garlic. Has anyone noticed that the jabbed can look really big one day and shrunken down the next? What is going on? They seem like they're inflatable. And then the second one says, laughing, yes, my friend and I were just talking about that very thing yesterday. So there is some note being given to people who are enlarged one day and shrunken the next. So there's another new aspect to it.
You know, crazy. None of this bodes well. I mean, there's some serious metabolic issues.
Oh,
obviously.
There are dozens of things that are indicators that bad times are ahead, and I don't like saying that for people. And shedding is so real, and it's an integral part of the whole vax program. Shedding. They knew it. They knew it. We know that. All right. Well done. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. See ya.
And we'll see you Friday. Good night, everyone.
All right. Back with more in a few minutes. Hang on.